Okay, Heavenly Places, page 219, Is My Family Prepared to Meet the Lord? July 31st, of course, if you actually have the book. Page 219, if you have the book, too. Starts off 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. And it says, For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, and by the way, for those of you that are new, we're reading Ellen White on Friday nights because some of us want to read what she has to say, just like we would want to understand what Isaiah says or anybody else that's considered an actual prophet. And but no, we do not worship Ellen White. We also understand that she does not cover the entire 66 books of the Bible in her writings. And so, which, by the way, is one of the warning signals, too, with these people that push false theology. They'd like to use a lot of Bible verses out of context and spirit of prophecy as well. We do understand completely that we have to use all 66 books, especially on the street. The reason we do this on Friday nights is because, like I said earlier, some of us wanted to read her writings, and it's nice to do this in a group fashion, if you will. I want to read them, and I mean, I read stuff every morning after I do my Bible studies, but I only read a little bit because I don't have a lot of time in the day anymore now. I'd rather do the studies themselves because I get an awful lot of emails, and I like those topical studies in Scripture. So she goes on to say, anyway, she says, Let the parents study the first chapter of the second epistle of Peter. Here is represented the exalted excellence of Bible truth. It teaches that the Christian's experience is to be one of steady growth, of constant gain in graces and virtues that will give strength to the character and fit the soul for eternal life. You know, if I would have known this stuff when I was a young man, I think I would have a lot less issues with my children today, which anybody could say. All right, and we can never kick ourselves. I mean, this is what I did for years. I actually kicked myself in the back end because I feel like I didn't raise them right, and I didn't. You know, I raised the older ones, Roman Catholic, for a few years, and then we left, of course, the Catholic Church. And then for the next 10 years, we were still Sunday keepers, but, you know, the ministry had started. We were exposing Antichrist left and right, doing the best we could. And then after those 10 years of unlearning Catholicism, we discovered the Sabbath and stuff like that and ran from there. But still, you cannot kick yourself. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because I know some of you have kids that are running amok. And I know there was a church family that we hold, and I still hold very dear to my heart. And for some reason, they left us, but they did not explain why. It was just like disappeared, and this was years ago. And I actually baptized them, the husband and the wife. And the kids were present when it went down. This was years ago. On June 20th, I remember that date, but I don't remember what year it was. And their oldest kid went a little bit goofy and started doing crazy things. And I got a sad thought that maybe they're embarrassed of that end and don't want to, you know, be associating with church members because their kid's running amok. And says, no, you should never do that because it's not your fault. I mean, there's plenty of instances in the scriptures where even prophets, I mean, look at Samuel, his kids. Not good. And look at Adam and Eve. Well, we know what Adam and Eve did, of course, but the very first kid born was a murderer. And so you can't blame yourself. I mean, it's just not. And even if Jesus Christ himself was part of your family unit, it doesn't guarantee that everybody in that family is going to make it home to heaven, because people can deny Jesus Christ physically as well as spiritually. And the reason I mention that is because of his stepbrothers and sisters, Joseph's kids. All right, and so they actually didn't like him. To be honest with you, I mean, the way they says, well, you know, why don't you go, they had some comments that weren't very loving, if you will, towards him, in regards to certain events, like with the feast days and that. And so, again, don't blame yourself. Do the best you can. And I like to look back on it as not only an experience for me as I'm growing, because this is one of the reasons, too, I see how the Lord allows for parents to be older than their kids. Wouldn't it be weird if everything was backwards? But you grow with the kid just as well. You learn how to do things, and you learn how not to do things as you get older. Our kids are going to make mistakes just like we made mistakes. The mistakes my dad made, I didn't make. The mistakes my mom made, my wife didn't make, and her mom, the mistakes that her mom and dad made, that she doesn't or tries not to make. I mean, yeah, you're going to repeat certain things, like especially when I was Roman Catholic, I echoed and emulated my dad until I realized, hey, that wasn't right to do. So I stopped doing those things. That's called honoring your parents. I know it seems odd, but if you do a study in regards to that, of commandment number 5, you'll see how honoring your parents, the best way to look at it is, a lot of people think, oh, you got to honor your parents. My dad, my mom and dad are Sunday keepers. So I got to stay a Sunday. I got to honor. No. What that means is you take the truth that they have brought onto you and run with it and learn even more truth that would honor them. It's just like a student honoring the teacher, because the student always supersedes the teacher. At least that's common sense is how I see it. In other words, every single solitary one of you are hopefully going to have better walks than me. You know, or understand things better than myself. Some of you young guys are also coming up with stuff that throws my eyebrows up. It's like, wow, the wisdom of some of you young men here, and women. And so, oh, yeah, and by the way, women counsel women, men counsel men. Just thought I'd throw that out there. All right, so she goes on. It is a privilege of parents and children to grow together in the grace of Christ. Those who comply with the conditions laid down in the Word will find full provision for their spiritual needs and for power to overcome. And the point I was making a minute ago in regards to I praise God for the experiences is because just like I praise God that He allowed me to be Roman Catholic for 29 years because I needed to see Catholicism from inside to be able to expose it from the outside, I also needed to learn how false theology can cause problems, as I saw with my own children or my friends and relatives or whatever the case may be. And my kids, too, would also be blessed with seeing how not to do it this way and how to do it that way and how to do it this way and how to do it that way. We're all learning. No man's an island, no kid's an island either. Everybody interacts with everybody else just like with the cells in your body. There's a reason everything works in unison. And I'm not talking New Age theology either. I'm talking just plain common sense. We all are one big happy family if we make it home. So she goes on to say that the Lord expects parents to make earnest, united efforts in the training of their children for Him. In the home, they are to cultivate the graces of the Spirit, in all their ways acknowledging Him, who through the sanctification of the Spirit has promised to make us perfect in every good work. And yes, some of us take a little longer than others. Some of us have to take baby steps. Some of us can jump in cold turkey. I mean, there's things I could do cold turkey that you can't. And there's some things that you could do cold turkey that I go, wow, I wish I could do that. You know, like some things that took me years to chip away at and baby step my way out of certain problems that or character flaws that I have. There's a lot of baby stepping going on there. But my Lord still blesses me because He knows I'm trying and I am getting better with each day, with whatever the character issue is in you or me or any of us. That's how it works. She says, shall the people who have a solemn message to bear for the enlightenment and salvation of the world make little or no effort for the members of their own family who are unconverted to the truth? Now, there's a sticky wicket there, though, because if your family's Roman Catholic and you come out of that church and you try to share with them, I have 10 siblings, and so I had an opportunity to try 10 different approaches. Well, actually 12 if you count mom and dad, but... Well, 11, because mom and dad usually were in the same room. But, and people still email me and ask me, how do you approach Roman Catholics? And I got to email them back, no clue. I mean, you could try this, you could try that, you could try this, you could try that, but I tried I don't know how many methods, and some have worked and some have not. But some that work on Joe won't work on Mary. Some that work on Mary won't work on Joe, and vice versa, you know, whatever. And, but I have seen it work. I have seen it fail. I've seen mother superiors, that's the head nun in a convent, leave the Roman Catholic Church because of the truth we shared her, me and another guy. I mean, she wouldn't talk to me because she didn't like the website. So what he did was used my website and would email me every now and then and ask me questions on how to answer her questions. And I would respond. Like standing in the background. And I think it took a year and a half, 2 years, and all of a sudden he told me it worked. She left the church. I says, well, praise the Lord. He says, yeah, but are you sitting down? I says, what do you mean? He says, well, the woman's a nun. I says, wow, praise the Lord. He says, yeah, but are you still sitting down? She's a mother superior. She's not just a nun. She's the head nun. I thought, whoa. I didn't know he was doing that until it was all said and done. And I think it was pretty cool that he didn't tell me that either, because I may have gone in different directions, which the Lord was showing to me, keep it simple. It doesn't matter if they're playing the game of a theologian or a doctor of divinity. Common sense is common sense, no matter how big your brain is. Common sense works. You don't have to come out there with the $20 words. Even if you know them, you don't have to use them. Because, you know, some little guy down the road doesn't understand a thing you said because you're using, you know, words like anti-disestablishmentarianism. What is that? You know, but he don't get it, but the guy down the road, on the other side of the road, might get it. Just keep it simple. It doesn't matter. She goes on, will parents allow their minds to be engrossed with trifling matters to the neglect of the all-important question, is my family prepared to meet the Lord? Will they assent to the great truths that are present truth for these last days and be interested to see this message going to other peoples and lands while they allow their children, their most precious possession, to go unwarned of their danger and unprepared for the future? This is why I can't give up. And some around me do tell me, just give it up, just pray. I can't. You know, I'm not going to push Jesus and grab them and, you know, shove it down their throat kind of a thing, but every chance I get, if the topic comes up, they know, Dad's a preacher. You're going to hear it. Deal with it. It's like I used to say when they were younger, like when they would get grounded, oh, you deal with it. That's how I would, you know, answer them all the time. I mean, that was a favorite saying for the kids for a while, and they used to mock me, just deal with it, Dad. But yeah. You know, because the love you have for them, you still got to go. But, you know, when you get to a certain age, yeah, they're off married with children and stuff like that. Your best option at this point is pray. You know, even if it means the shake them up, wake them up prayer. And it works. You know, the Lord will, you know, deal with them in their own little way. And the other thing that I've noticed over the years, too, is don't expect them to do it exactly the way you see it. Or understand it the exact same way you understand it. If they don't get it, they're not going to be held accountable just like the Joe Schmo down the road. The Bible's clear. If you don't understand what you're doing is sinful, you're not going to be held accountable for that sin. Else the thief on the cross would have been rotten in the grave for eternity. Jesus said he was going to heaven. There's a lot of things that guy did wrong that he didn't realize was wrong. I mean, sure, I'm not saying he was dumb as a bag of rocks, but what I'm saying is there's a strong possibility that, well, it's an absolute fact, because Jesus did say that he was going to be going to heaven when heaven started. I'm putting the comma where it belongs, of course. We all know what I'm talking about there, hopefully. But yeah, he obviously had a lifestyle that said, you know, any of us that looked on the surface of things, or even, you know, just by the fruits of that man alone, you would think, yeah, he's hellbound. But little do we, that's why Sister White says in one of her other writings that you're going to be surprised at some of the people that you're going to see in heaven. Because some of these people really are spiritual dwarfs, some people. They could be, you know, a teacher of trigonometry for all you know, a brain surgeon. And when it comes to spiritual things, are literally inept, unable to understand. And your father knows that. So, yeah, amen. So the thing is, you got to be very, very Christ-like in your approach. And I'm not saying you have to read their hearts, because you can't. You can't do it. It's not going to be done. What you can do, though, is just trust. Like the Lord revealed to me after about, I was praying for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, I can't remember how long, but one day the Lord just came to me in prayer to say, don't worry about it. He's going to do things his way. You know, talking about a loved one that I was praying for. He says, he's just going to do things his way. In other words, he was more or less telling me, he says, look, okay, you do it this way, and you want everybody around you to do it just like you do it. Well, that's not how it works. Look at the 10 fingerprints you got. Do they match anybody in your house? They can't do it your way 100%. Nobody can. Nobody on this planet can do it my way, and nobody on this planet, and I can't do anything that you do your way. There's things that some of you can do that I can't even contemplate doing, and vice versa. We're all the family. There's, you know, we all have these different duties to do for our Lord. And so he's going to bless or spank in the way that works best for that child. And that includes you. We're all children of God. Let's see. It finishes up here by saying, shall those who, from the word of God and through the witness of his Spirit, have had clear light concerning their duty, allow the years to pass without making definite efforts to save their children? Christ is waiting for the cooperation of human agencies, that he may impress the hearts of our children and youth with intense desire. Heavenly beings long to see parents making that preparation which is essential if they and their children stand loyal to God in the coming conflict and enter in through the gates to the city of God. So, amen and amen. And I'd kind of like to, you know, because I know some of us have children that are outside the family, you know, outside the house, rather, with their own families. And I think it would be nice soon, within the next week maybe, like maybe even Wednesday night, if we can have kind of a discussion in regards to what methods have you guys tried that seem to work? Because I know some of you, and I know I have kids that are like this too. You come up to them and you start talking about Jesus, they're going to put up that brick wall, and you can literally see it. I mean, their eyes will glaze over. I mean, it gets to the point, or they'll get upset with you. They'll literally get angry when you start talking about Jesus. How do you approach people like that? I mean, I don't know at all, but I'd like to see how my brothers and sisters respond to stuff like that. And some of you might have ideas that'll work for me, and I might have ideas that'll work for you. But we're getting close, and we do. Some of us have a lot of kids that, you know, or maybe just one or two that we're going to be held accountable for. We have to make a genuine effort. I do what I do, and my wife does what she does, but sometimes it feels like it's falling on deaf ears, and you want to keep trying. And so, but praying, yeah, that never ends. So I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.